Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the JinkoSolar second quarter 2016 earnings conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There'll be a presentation followed by the question and answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you'll need to press star one on your telephone keypad. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, Thursday, August 25th, 2016. I would now like to hand the conference over to your host today, Mr. Sebastian Liu, Investor Relations Director. Please go ahead, Mr. Liu.
Thank you, operator. Thank you everyone for joining us today for JinkoSolar second quarter 2016 earnings conference call. The company's results were released earlier today and available on the company's IR website at www.jinkosolar.com, as well as on Newswire services. We have also provided the supplemental presentation for today's conference call, which can also be found on IR's website. On the call today from JinkoSolar, Mr. Chen Kangping, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Cao Haiyun, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Gener Miao, VP Global Sales and Marketing, and Sebastian Liu, IR Director. Mr. Chen will discuss JinkoSolar's business operations and the company's highlights, followed by Gener Miao, who will talk about sales and marketing, and then Mr. Cao, who will go through the financials. They will all be available to answer your questions during the Q&A session that follows. Please note that today's discussion will contain forward-looking statements made under the safe harbor provisions of the U.S. Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Forward-looking statements involve inherent risks and uncertainties. As such, our future results may be materially different from the views expressed today. Further information regarding this and other risks is included in JinkoSolar's public filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission. JinkoSolar does not assume any obligation to update any forward-looking statements except as required under applicable law. It is now my pleasure to introduce Mr. Chen Kangping, CEO of JinkoSolar. Mr. Chen will speak in Mandarin, and I will translate his comments into English. Please go ahead, Mr. Chen.
谢谢小谢谢你。各位早上好，感谢大家参加今天的电话会议。
Thank you, Sebastian. Good morning and good evening to everyone, and thank you for joining us today.
我很高兴地宣布，公司本季度业绩表现强劲，二季度组件出货达到创新高的1716兆瓦，超出指引上限，总收入达8.961亿美元，同比增长86.1%，毛利率20.4%，相比2016年一季度的21.3%，以及去年同期的20.7%。
I'm pleased to announce another strong quarter. Module shipment reached a record high of 1,716 MW, exceeding the high end of our guidance of the quarter. Total revenue reached $896.1 million, an increase of 86.1% over the same period of last year. Gross margin was 20.4% compared with 21.3% in the first quarter of 2016, and 20.7% the same period of last year.
从出货地理分布看，本季度中国市场占比 46%， 北美市场占比 43%， 亚太市场占比 5%， 欧洲市场占比 4%， 新兴市场占比 2%。由于季节因素，本季度组件出货到中国和美国占比较大。我们预期下半年出货地理分布将更加均衡，本季度平均售价保持在$55，与一季度一致。
We shipped 46% of our modules to China, 43% to North America, 5% to Asia Pacific region, 4% to Europe, and 2% to emerging market during the quarter. Due to seasonality, a large portion of our shipments were to the US and China. We expect shipment to balance out during the second half of the year. ASP remained flat at $0.55 compared with the first quarter. Looking at the second half of the year, we do see some uncertainty in terms of both demand and ASPs caused by the June 13 feed-in tariff cut in China. Additional global capacity coming online and some panic sales from small suppliers. We remain cautiously optimistic, however, and are confident that we'll be able to maintain our gross margin at a decent level.
在中国市 场， 我们积极参与零跑车计划以及光伏附近项 目， 对从传统地面电厂市场降温所带来的影响。公司成为首家多晶圆单晶产品均通过中国质量认证中心一级能效光伏零跑车测试的企业。在美 国， 我们已锁定相当数量的大型订 单， 其中大部分将由我们的海外工厂供 货， 这将很大程度降低平均售价下降带来的影响。正如前面提到 的， 下半年其他地区的市场出货比例将增 加， 尤其在拉丁美洲、印度和日本。这将使我们的出货地理分布更均衡。总 之， 面对挑 战， 我们已经为下半年建立了充足的订单储 备， 并且基于目前的市场可见 度， 我们预期部分市 场， 尤其是中国市场的需求在四季度将有所反弹。
In China, we are actively participating in project of TOPCon program and the PV poverty alleviation program to counter the effects of the declining traditional utility scale markets. We were the first PV company to receive the China Quality Certification Center's Level 1 Energy Efficiency Certification for both mono and multi products for the TOPCon program. In the U.S., we have already secured a large number of orders for the second half, a majority of which will be supplied by our overseas production facility, which will significantly reduce the impact of declining ASP. As I mentioned earlier, the portion of shipment to other markets will increase during the second half, particularly to Latin America, India, and Japan, which will balance out our geographic mix. In general, where we are facing challenges, we have already built a strong book of orders for the second half of 2016, and based on our current availability, we even expect to see demand pick up in some of the market in Q4, China in particular.
电站项目本季度发电量大幅提升至3.27亿 度， 环比增加55.8%， 发电收入2.85亿元。大幅的业绩增长主要源于积极性光照市场的增 加， 中国西部限电影响的减 少， 以及更多项目完成调试达到满发。公司仍将按计划完成今年制定的定额目标。管理层坚 信， 公司下游业务具有长期巨大潜 力， 我们将继续推进分拆进 程， 达到股东利益最大 化， 并通过这部分重资产业务的投表优化公司的资产负债表。
Electricity output from our domestic project improved substantially to 327 GWh, an increase of 55.8% sequentially, while generating 285 million RMB in revenue. This solid increase is a result of increased sunlight hours from seasonality, reduced curtailment in China western regions, as well as a number of our project ramping up to full capacity. We remain on track to hit our connection guidance by the year end. Management believes that our downstream business has enormous potential in the long run, and we continue to work on spinning this business off to maximize shareholders value and deleverage our balance sheet from this asset heavy business.
产能方 面， 我们将年底产能指引更新至硅片 4.5G瓦， 电池 3.7G瓦， 组件 6.5G瓦。相较原来指引为硅片 3.5G瓦， 电池 3.5G瓦， 组件 6.5G瓦。主要的产能增加在硅片环 节， 将用于公司的 PERC 产品。
In terms of manufacturing capacity, we update guidance for the year end capacity to 4.5, 3.7, and 6.5 gigawatts for wafers, cells, and modules respectively, compared with the original guidance of 3.5, 3.5, and 6.5 gigawatts for wafer cells and modules. The increased part is mainly wafers for the usage of our PERC products.
技术方 面， 公司始终专注于向市场提供最好的技术和产 品， 并降低成本。我们持续扩大 PERC 生产 线， 并在黑硅技术上取得了坚实的进展。同 时， 我们还在努力结合这两种技 术， 以进一步提高产品的效率和可靠性。我们全新的智能双波组件和金刚线黑硅加黑色背板的组件系列也即将进入量产阶段。作为行业内的成本领先 者， 公司的技术团队一直在努力优化产品的成本结构。我们相 信， 截至年底 前， 我们仍有足够空间降低综合成本。
On technology front, we remain focused on cutting costs while delivering the best technology and products. We continue to expand our PERC production lines and have made solid progress in developing our black silicon technology. We are also working to combine these two technologies to further increase the efficiency and the reliability of our products. Our new series of double glass smart modules and diamond saw black silicon plus black sheet modules are also about to begin mass production. As cost leader in this industry, our team is working very hard to optimize the cost structure and confident that we still have plenty of room to further cut the blended cost towards the end of the year.
但别人只是看到挑战时，我们看到的却是机遇。管理层将从一个更大的视觉来部署战略，并渡过行业愿景和转型期。我对全球太阳能行业的长期发展充满信心，我相信公司有能力持续发展，并为股东创造长期回报。When
others see challenges, we see opportunities. We take a big picture perspective when planning out our strategy to navigate through the headwinds and industry shifts. I'm confident in the long-term prospects of the solar industry globally, and I believe Jinko Solar will continue to grow sustainably and increase value for our shareholders.
话题交给Jenna之前，我来介绍一下2016年第三季度和全年业绩指引。 2016年第三季度公司组件出货量预计在1.5吉瓦到1.7吉瓦之间，其中包括向第三方组件出货1.4吉瓦到1.6吉瓦。2016年全年业绩指引不变，预计太阳能组件总出货量在6吉瓦到6.5吉瓦之间，其中包括向第三方组件出货5.4吉瓦到5.7吉瓦。公司预计在2016年新增电网项目600兆瓦到800兆瓦。
Before turning the call over to Jenna and quickly go over the guidance for the third quarter and the full year 2016. In the third quarter, the company estimates the total module shipments to be in the range of 1.5 to 1.7 gigawatt, which include 1.4 to 1.65 gigawatt module to the third party. Full year 2016 guidance stayed the same. The company expects total solar module shipment to be in the range of 6 to 6.5 gigawatts, which includes 5.4 to 5.7 gigawatt shipment to third party. The company expects to connect solar power project with a new capacity of 600 to 800 megawatt in 2016. With that, I'll turn the call over to Jenna.
Thank you, Ms. Chen. As Ms. Chen mentioned, we shipped a total of 1,716 megawatt of solar modules during the quarter. Those strong shipment results reached another history high for us. While we will face a challenging environment during the second half of the year, we remain cautiously optimistic about the market, especially in a number of markets that are already showing signs of regaining growth momentum in the fourth quarter. First, let's look at the geographic distribution of our shipment during the quarter. We shipped 1,512 megawatt of solar modules to third parties, including 46% to China, 43% to North America, 5% to Asia Pacific region, 4% to Europe, and 2% to emerging markets. Due to seasonality, a large portion of our shipments were to the US and China, and like Ms. Chen just mentioned, the geographic mix should balance out during the second half of the year when China slows down and Japan, India, and Latin America pick up. China remained our largest market during the quarter, while demand in the third quarter is expected to soften due to the feed cut at the end of June. We are confident about our position in the market and its future opportunities. Based on our current visibility, we expect the demand will recover during the fourth quarter. We are actively involved in Top Runner program, which sets high standard for efficiency and reliability of PV products, helping tier one suppliers to create technology barrier in market. We are also very active in participating poverty alleviation projects, which will be a 20 plus gigawatt market for the next 5 years. Outside China, the U.S. continues to be one of our most important markets, while near-term headwinds have dampened market sentiment. even causing some customers to wait and see. It does not change the fundamental demand from the U.S. market and the long-term favorable support policies. We expect that the U.S. market will remain relatively flat in 2017 and pick up again in 2018. We have built strong position in the utility scale market in U.S. and are working with more distributors and deploying more resources in residential and commercial market, which is growing rapidly and steadily. We have also secured a number of large orders in U.S. for the second half of the year, the majority of which will be supplied by our overseas production facility, which will significantly reduce downwards ASP pressure and help maintain our gross margin in the U.S. The European market has kept the status quo, despite the U.K., one of the biggest markets, facing uncertainty after Brexit vote. This is mainly because currency depreciation, which affected the economics of some projects. But the market now is recovering, and we are still evaluating new opportunities there. Turning to Asia-Pacific region, although facing regulatory changes, Japan remains attractive, where we continue to strengthen our relationship with local partners to enlarge our market share there. The Indian government has recently implemented a series of policies designed to support the solar industry from both the central and the state government levels. The market is growing very fast and showing great potential. While margins are still towards the bottom end of our range, the market environment is getting better and increasingly stable, and could actively hedge against the slowdown of some of the other markets. The first half of the year is typically slow for Japan and India as it marks the end of their fiscal year, but demand is expected to pick up in the second half. Scheduled shipment to emerging markets will be concentrated towards the end of 2016 and into 2017. We recently helped our utility and IPP customers complete bids in Mexico, Argentina, and Chile for projects, with the next round of their PV program scheduled to begin construction afterwards. Those orders plus current backlog will strengthen our leading position in Latin American markets. ASPs during the quarter came in at 55 US cents, flat when compared to the last quarter. ASPs are expected to decline by low teens in second half, mainly due to several reasons, such as slowing Chinese demand following the June 30th FIT cut, additional global production capacity coming online, a large number of tariff-free products being shipped to U.S. market, and some panic sales from smaller suppliers. Although the decline in ASPs is quicker than we expected, as Ms. Chen just discussed, we are well prepared and have actively taken actions to reduce the impact. And we don't see ASPs decreasing much further and expect that they will improve in Q4. Moving to marketing and branding. We participated in a number of events, exhibitions, and conferences during this quarter. In May, we attended SNAC in China, and in June, we attended Renewable Energy Asia 2016 in Thailand, Africa Energy Forum in London, and Intersolar in Munich. During Intersolar Munich, Jinko Solar exhibited the all-black Eagle MX smart solution. For the first time, Jinko Solar's MX smart solution is one of the most advanced solutions for rooftop installation. With its built-in intelligence core optimizer, MX smart solution ensures simpler installation and a greater power output. Jinko organized a series of anniversary celebration customer events to drive corporate and brand marketing. Jinko created merchandising kits for distributors in U.S. and kicked off series on-site roadshow and online webinars in Australia, Europe, South America, and Africa. Through those events, Jinko Solar further strengthened its leading position in brand value and recognition worldwide. Now, I would like turn the call over to Charlie, who will go over our financial results of the second quarter of year 2016.
Thank you, Jinner. I'd like to walk you through our financial results for the second quarter of 2016. Total solar module shipments were 1.7 gigawatts, up 7% sequentially and up 88% year over year. The shipments exceeded the high end of our second quarter guidance. We connected 123 megawatts solar power projects in this quarter. By the end of Q2, we had 1,130 megawatts projects in operation. Total revenue was $896 million, up 9% sequentially and up 86% year over year. Revenue generated from solar power projects was $43 million, up 56% sequentially and up 62% year over year. Gross margin was 20.4% compared to 21.3% in Q1 and 20.7% in Q2 2015. The sequential decrease was due to the increase of tariff costs related to module shipments to the U.S. market from China. ASP was 55 cents per watt, the same to the ASP in Q1. We continued to cut our long-setting costs to 29 cents per watt from 30 cents per watt in Q1. The blended cost, excluding the U.S. tariff cost, was 41 cents per watt, flat compared to the cost in Q1. Our operating expenses represented 12.9% of total revenues compared to 10.8% in Q1 and 13.3% in Q2 2015. We had an impairment of $50 million for the replaced equipment during the process for the improvement automatic production level. Excluding non-cash expenses, the operating expense was 10% of total revenue in Q2 2016. Operating margin was 7.5% compared to 10.5% in Q1 and 7.4% in Q2 2015. Net interest expense was $18 million, down 4% sequentially and up 33% year over year. EBITDA was $118 million compared to $125 million in Q1 and $66 million in Q2 2015. EBITDA related to solar power projects was $36 million compared to $15 million in Q1 and $22 million in Q2 2015. Net income was $42 million. This translates into basic and diluted earnings per ADS of $1.36 and $1.28, respectively. Non-GAAP net income was $64 million. This translates into non-GAAP basic and diluted earnings per ADS of $2.04 and $1.92, respectively. Now, let's move to the balance sheet. By the end of second quarter, cash, cash equivalents, and restricted cash were $557 million compared to $523 million at the end of Q1. Our accounts receivable was $626 million compared to $611 million at the end of Q1. Inventories were $466 million compared to $482 million at the end of Q1. The total debt were $1.8 billion compared to $1.6 billion at the end of Q1. The debt related to solar power projects were $1 billion compared to $865 million at the end of Q1. We updated the CapEx plan for our module business in 2016, which is in the range of $200 million to $250 million. At this moment, we are happy to take your questions. Operator.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. And again, to ask a question today, please press star 1. We'll now take our first question from Patrick Jobin from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, good evening. Thanks for taking the question. First question, I guess, can you talk about the visibility you have into the margins in the second half? I guess I'm trying to reconcile the comment that you have a strong order book, but I guess the comment that pricing is declining the low teens percentage. Should we think about gross margin percentage declining, lockstep with that, or how do we think about the margin profile in the next two quarters?
Okay, Philip, I think we have. Oh, sorry, Patrick. I think we have strong visibility, for the second half year in terms of orders. And in terms of gross margin, Q2, the gross margin was 20%, and of which I think power business is 61%, and solar module business is around 18%. For the module business, the ASP is under pressure, but we are taking, the further steps to cut the cost. We are seeing a lot of positive factors and targeting to cut our blended cost over 10% in the second half year. In the second half year, we expect the tariff cost will be significantly lower because, we had completed our capacity expansion in the overseas market, and we had 1.5 gigawatt cell and module capacity online, which will help us to address the strong U.S. market. And we plan to ship over 90% shipments to the U.S. market from overseas factories in the second half year compared to the 30% in the first half year. And the cell price is down dramatically. And if you look at our capacity, existing capacity, we still need to buy 40% cell from third party, so which will help us to drive down our costs. And the next one is we are working actively with our strategic vendors, and we expect to get more favorable price from our vendors. And if you look at the RMB, it's still depreciating, so which is also help us to cut the cost. And we continue to invest in our R&D and improve the efficiencies. So for the module business, I would expect the gross margin in the second half year is around 15% to 17%. For the power business, the gross margin will be quite stable. It's in a range of 60% to 65% for the third quarter. And for the fourth quarter, because of the seasonality, I expect that the gross margin will go down slightly.
Patrick, just one point. In fact, this quarter, our module business gross margin just a little bit above 18%. So in fact, for the second half, we expect that the gross margin for our module business just will decrease a little bit.
Okay. That's helpful. And I guess just in context of what you're seeing on the pricing environment, and what we and others in the industry have tabulated as quite a significant capacity expansion that's occurring right now, despite some markets where maybe you're not seeing demand growth into the next year. Can you help us understand kind of what you're doing on the capacity front? Why make the decision this quarter to expand capacity further? How much of the expansion is PERC? Is it upgrading existing lines, or are these new facilities? I'm just trying to reconcile, the oversupply situation, just the cyclical position we're in, and the decision to expand capacity right now. Thanks.
And by the end of second quarter, our total capacity reached to 3.5 gigawatts for wafer and 3.5 gigawatts for cell, and 6.5 gigawatts for the solar modules. And you're right, I think we have made strategic decision to invest 1 gigawatt model wafer capacity and 1 gigawatt per equipment. And the production line will ramp up to full capacity by the end of the year. So the rationale is we anticipated the demands for the high efficiency model modules in the market. And we invested years for the model technology. And thanks to our technology, we believe, you know, we can provide the leading high-efficiency model modules in the market. The investment on model does not mean, you know, we are going to shift our focus to multi from model. And, you know, we believe that both technologies have great potential in the future to increase the efficiency and cut the cost. And the investment will help us to solidify our leading position and provide more options to the, to meet our customer needs. And for the total capacity expansion, we continue to adopt disciplined approach. And the total CapEx this year, 2016, for module business is in the range of $200 million to $250 million.
Got it. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. We will now take our next question from Vishal Shah from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. I wanted to just better understand your mix in the second half across different regions. What percentage of your shipments in, say, for example, Q3 will be to the U.S. market, and how will that mix shift in Q4 as China becomes a bigger percentage of mix?
Hey, hi, Vishal. This is Jenna. I just give you some colors on that. So for the second half as a whole, we are expecting around 30 to 35% to China, and a similar number, around 30 to 35% to U.S., and 15 to 12% to Asia-Pacific, and similar number, 15 to 20% to emerging markets, and Europe will be below 10%.
That's great, thank you. And then what kind of visibility do you have right now with respect to Q4 shipments? What percentage of your current guidance is in the order books for both Q3 and Q4?
Well, so it's difficult to differentiate Q3 and Q4 because some of the orders are long-term, so it comes through the whole year or the whole second half. So if we look into the whole second half of 2016, we are our order book are more than 60% full. So I think we are pretty happy with the current position we have, and we are seeing more and more opportunities coming in, and not only for the second half of 2016, but also for the 2017.
That's great, thank you. And then just a couple of other follow-up questions. On the U.S., you mentioned some of the customers are adopting a wait-and-see approach. Where do you think the demand is right now for your products in the U.S.? Is it commercial, industrial segment, or utility-scale segment? And how do you think the China market develops in 2017? Is it going to be flat, like you said, in the U.S., or could it actually grow on an annual basis? Thank you.
Thank you. And for the U.S., we are believing that the majority of the demand will still coming from the utility segment, but we are seeing the growing, fast-growing market from the demand from the commercial and the residential market. For our strategy-wise, we are really working together for the commercial and the residential segment. We are working together with the national-wise or regional-wise distributors and even larger size of the local installers to distribute our business and our product. So for the China, we are believing that next year will keep a similar demand compared with 2016. So the total number will still be a high number, even a global number one demand. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll now take our next question from Philip Shen from Roth Capital Partners. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
I wanted to touch on the ASP topic for a moment. You mentioned in your prepared remarks that ASPs could improve in Q4. Can you elaborate on this? You know, typically, ASPs they fall 5 to 8% year on year, and they're accelerating, as you mentioned in your prepared remarks, to the kind of low teens level in Q3. But what specifically do you see in Q4 for the ASP trends, and how do you expect the ASPs to trend in 2017 as well?
Thank you, Arthur. This is Jen. So for ASPs, if we are looking into the supply and the demand side, actually, if we are really from the demand side, we can see that Q3 mainly will be the weak season through 2016. Q4 and the Q1 will typically be the peak season for Indian and Japan market. And also, you know, after the feeding tariff cut by the first half in China, and the Q3, you know, not many people taking actions for module delivery demand. But for sure, people are trying to close their grid connection before year end, the fiscal year in China. So we will see a pretty strong, compared with Q3, and we will see pretty strong Q4 demand in China as well. So U.S. will be the similar case, pretty flat. So combine all these four key markets, we can see that the demand for Q4 will obviously be stronger than Q3. That's why we have the confidence for this Q4 ASPs.
Right. And Jana, what do you see in 2017? You know, we've heard reports that ASP booking, you know, ASPs and volumes being booked for you know, the back half of 17 in terms of long-term contracts are actually quite low. So do you see, well, you know, thoughts on 17? Thanks.
Well, 2017, we are still cautiously optimistic because compared with 2016, we can see obvious increasing demand is from India, and also Japan will still be strong. So we do not see any decreasing demand. Meanwhile, we can see some increasing demand. So the, from the total demand side, we are still optimistic because China market, China government still got their ambitious targets to beat for 2017. And for the ASP side, we can see the stable ASP in 2017 compared with second half this year because we have, if we consider the increasing efficiency of the solar product, we will see a slightly decrease, but compared with the low end of the second half of 2016, we still have confidence that the ASP in 2017 will be keep us in a rational numbers.
Okay, great. One more for me here. In terms of your downstream business, you mentioned in your release that you know, you're still working on plans to potentially spin that business off. Can you update us on where that stands and what some next steps might be and if there's anything in the near term that we could expect there?
Philip, this is Tony. We continue to move the spin-off process forward and target to complete the process by the end of this year. And Chinese capital market is the first options, and the Chinese regulators are analyzing the detailed policies for the overseas listed company coming home. And we are optimistic because China encouraged the merger acquisition for the real economies. And renewable energy is one of the key areas to develop low-carbon and sustainable economies. And so far, I cannot discuss the plan in details. And we will keep investors posted if we made some significant milestone.
Great. Thank you. I'll jump back in the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you. As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question today, please press star 1. As there are no further questions in the queue, I will turn the program back to Mr. Liu for any additional or closing remarks. Thank you.
So on behalf of the entire JinkoSolar's management team, I want to thank you for your interest and participation on this call. If you have any further questions or concerns, please feel free to contact us Have a good day or good evening, and thank you and goodbye.
Thank you. That concludes today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.